very familiar piece of scripture, I realize, tonight about the Queen of Sheba. And it is perhaps some of our favorite in all the scripture. We love to study about the Queen of Sheba and King Solomon and about how she came from that great distance to hear about Solomon and about she came to hear about the Lord, I believe. I believe we got Bible for that. I wouldn't say it if we didn't have Bible for it, but I believe she came to hear about the Lord. If you'll look with me, we're going to see in these first three verses, we're going to see a procession of royalty. A procession of royalty. Verse 1. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she knew him, and Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything on that land up. Probably it, which is Arabia, called Y-E-M-E-N, miles from Jerusalem. So this lady, the Queen Sheba, at one time has come 1,500 miles to find out some more about Solomon. She's heard about the fame of Solomon. You know, he's world-renowned for his great prosperity and his splendor and all his wisdom. But she's come 1,500 miles not only because of his fame, but look at verse 1 again. It says, the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. Now, she had a special interest, I believe, in the name of the Lord. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And she's come to find out more about the Lord. Well, the Bible says that she came to Jerusalem with a very great train. That's not an Amtrak. That's not a locomotive. We read very clearly in your hearing down there in verse 2. The next few verses says, next few words says, with camels. In other words, that great train was a royal procession. And that procession, no telling how big it was, but certainly they were heavy laden with spices and gold and all kinds of precious stones. And she's got a lot of great and difficult questions that she's got in her heart that she's bringing with her. Now I tried to study and find out how far can you travel via a camel in a day's time. And a typical average, make an average time, average speed, you would cover about 20 miles in a day if you had a caravan, not a Dodge, but a caravan of camels. 20 miles a day. And they're going 1,500 miles. So she's traveled 75 days to meet this Solomon, this King Solomon, with his great wisdom and prosperity, and to hear of him concerning the name of the Lord. How many of you drove 75 days to get here tonight? If you knew you had to walk 75 days or travel by camel, you probably would have found a church a little closer. You probably would not have done that. But she, my friend, she had a burden upon her heart to find out about the Lord. And certainly she's come a long way. And when she gets there, she communes with him of all things. Now, somebody said to me when I come back from Mississippi, we drove 500 miles down there, ever how far it was, said, boy, that sure was a long way. We can bring our difficult burdens and the thing bothers us. He told us to bring it to him. And she could have prayed, I realize, together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as the things she don't understand. Verse 3 says that Solomon told her all her questions. Isn't it amazing that we can bring all our worries and all our prayer requests that are way far yonder over our head, and he'll meet each and every one of our answered all of her questions. Well, we see a procession of royal servants and the attendants of his ministers and their apparel, more spirit in her. And she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of to what she's seen here. Now, certainly, she has heard and she has seen. Then she looked out and seen all the buildings that God had blessed him to be. Come on down, we're going to have a meal. And she goes in there, and that table, you know, it's so big and it's so wide, and it's got all this stuff on it. And there's daily provision in chapter 4, verse number 22. This was his daily provision. She was amazed. Look with me at verse 22. And Solomon's provision for one day was 30 measures of fine flour. And on this side of the river from Tipsa
even to Azah, a river, and he had peace on all sides round about him. When she saw all them oxen and all them mercy, I have never been around anybody that had so much to eat at one sitting, and somebody at the table, she says, is it always like this? He said, well, he does it three times a day. And she was amazed at all the meat that sat at his table. And then, according to chapter number 10 and verse number 5, she was amazed at the sitting of his servants, not in just how many there was, but I believe how they were dressed and the servants that came in to work and to serve and to clean and do all your robes. And ain't none of them complaining about being a servant, about being a slave to their master. They're glad to be there. They said, oh, he's the best. You'll never work for a greater. He's the richest. He's the greatest. And he's the wisest king that we've ever seen. And it is our delight to serve him. And then she noticed his cupbearers, that's his personal bodyguard, they would lay down their table within an instant. And then the Bible says, and she saw how his ascent was when he went up to the house of the Lord. Oh, how he was willing to offer great sacrifice. And how happy he was to go say, we're going to the house of God. So he said, it's almost time for church. Glory to God. And all the going, how he must have prayed and sought God's face before he entered the house of God. And I'm telling you what, she looked at him, seeing all his glory and all the things he went through to get ready to go to the house of God, and what a believer he was, and the sacrifice, and the riches, and the luxuries, and all the grandeur, and all the things in his life. And I'm telling you what, she was amazed so much. And when she saw it, the Bible says, there was no more spirit in her. I looked the word up, it means she couldn't even breathe. She was like, I can't believe what I'm saying. I'm only report what I heard. Yeah, the things that I heard 1,500 miles away, I heard about you. And what they told me about you, every bit of it was true. About your actions, that's what you do. You're a man of honor, Solomon, and how you conduct your life. And not only your actions, but your wisdom. You're not better than everybody else. The Bible says knowledge puffeth up. You know, God has given you ability to speak on everybody's level and to give them understanding. Certainly God has blessed you with wisdom. She said, everything I heard about you is true. In fact, verse 7, howbeit, I believe not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. She said, I couldn't believe it because it seemed so great and so wonderful. And you know, to tell you the truth, now that I've seen it myself, they didn't tell me how. She said, of thy wisdom prosperity exceedeth, thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. You know, I kind of go back for a second. I believe that the Queen of Sheba is a type, maybe a poor type, of a sinner. She had heard. When she got there and she saw his wisdom and all his actions and all these things, she was persuaded. You hear what I'm going to tell you. The Holy Spirit had witnessed every church I've been in about the great wisdom of God in sending his Son to die on a cross in my place. That seems crazy to me, but that's the wisdom of God. When I heard of the great wisdom of God, I thought that's too good to be true. I've never met anyone who would taken a death sentence for me and his sacrifice on that cross. And I'm telling you what, I was amazed. And when I got there and began to sit down and read his word, then started reading about heaven and started reading about the married son, love that he and the son has, and how the son died in my place, but on the third day was raised again. I want to tell you what, one night at the Balfour Baptist Church, all that come together, and there was no spirit left in me. I ran to the altar and I just fell. I don't know what else to say. I've never seen anyone that loves me, and anyone with such glory, and anyone with such wisdom. I mean, how would someone like you that's holy love me as a sinner? There was no more spirit left in me. And you know what? I've read this Bible. I don't understand it all, but I believe it all. And I want to say that I've been in the house of God many, many times, and been around the people of God many, many times, and I've seen Jesus do miracle after miracle and great work after great work. Oh, my imagination goes wild. Everything he said was true. But somehow I just didn't believe it all. In fact, I think I'm going to bow down there, Brother Mike, and say the half was not told me of what a place this is and what a Savior that you and I have. Told us. Certainly we can shout in that tonight. Well, I believe when she looks down here in verse number 8, she says, happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Understand something about the queen. She understands splendor. She understands glory. She's the queen. She's got luxury. She probably didn't have to walk in that caravan by camels. Someone probably carried her. She rode camel. Nonetheless, as queen, she was used to the... And she, with all the glory that she was used to having herself, was amazed at the glory of Solomon. Absolutely amazed. And she hears and she says, happy are thy men. Now, you hear what I'm going to tell you tonight. If people were happy in serving Solomon in all his glory, how much greater is Jesus Christ in glory than Solomon ever thought about being? And if people were happy serving Solomon, don't you know we ought to be happy when we're serving the Lord? There's happiness, glory to God, in Jesus. I sit and talk with people all the time and say, well, I got married. I ain't happy. Really? Well, I go back over to their ceremony and I said, we went down to... It didn't say anything about till happiness do you part. It said death. Well, preacher, I'm going to kill them. Let me say amen. Somebody said, I just don't believe in happy. I believe in joy, unspeakable. But I just don't believe in happy. What you going to do about that? The Bible says they were happy in serving Solomon. And glory to God, you and I can be even happier in serving Jesus. Amen. Now, again, this is her personal reaction. This was a lady that was used to splendor, and there's no spirit left in her. She can't even breathe by all she sees. And she says, blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice. She says, I want you to know that I'm going to give glory to God. Because all the wisdom that you've got, you've told me that God gave it to you. And the God you serve must be glorious. And He must be wise. And He must really love His people to give them a man like that. In fact, God had already told them. He said, if you'll serve me, Israel, to my voice, you know what? All the nations of the earth will give glory to you in serving me. You realize the same thing's true for you and me? In someone else's life, and it might cause them to give glory to God, our King, and God our Lord, and Jesus our Savior. If you and I just serve Him in obedience, rather than running around like heaven's bankrupt and having the mully grubs all the time. Look at verse 10. The Bible says, and she gave the king 120 talents of gold. Now you know, I went through this whole spiel last week about talents. A talent is 70 pounds of gold. There's 16 ounces in a pound. In other words, figure that up, she gave him in today's standard, and gold, I didn't look at the price today, but as of last Wednesday, gold was $774 an ounce. And if you figure that up, that means that when she gave him 120 talents of gold, she gave him $104 million, a little over, worth of gold. That's what she gave him. And besides all that, look, she only gave him gold, but she gave him of spices and of spices very great store. And precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. She gave all this stuff. There's no doubt. She gave millions and tens of millions and hundreds of millions of dollars worth of gifts to Solomon. She didn't owe him anything. Why do you think she did all that? Because she saw how God had blessed him. And she was amazed and gave him all that stuff. Now, I got to thinking about something. said Solomon is a type of Christ, a poor type, I'll admit. When the wise men came from afar, as they began to travel, and they came to the little house where Jesus, the young child, was, they brought him gifts. Gifts of gold. What'd Sheba give Solomon? Gold. Gold is something that's given to deity. Okay? They came and gave gold to the young child Jesus. And they bowed down and they gave him frankincense, and they gave him, as the Queen of Sheba, by the Holy Ghost. He said, you know what I can give you, Lord? My service. I've gone out to preach the gospel, and souls have been saved. I went out weeping, and I've come in rejoicing. I went out sowing seeds, and I've come home, Lord, bringing the harvest. Here's the sheaves. He said, I can offer up the Gentiles that's been saved. Hey, Bethel, I got a hold of that this afternoon, and I'm telling you, I like to shout it, because I got to thinking about them 100 souls that's been saved, 102 that's been saved right here. Well, that's a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord God Almighty. Amen. And that's something that we've got to offer up. And you know what? By next Sunday, I'd like to see it again. Wouldn't you like to offer another soul to the Lord? But I can't save anybody. You can't save anybody. But we can have a little part of sowing the seed and sharing the gospel like Paul did. The offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, go back with me to 1 Kings chapter 10. We've seen a procession of royalty. We've seen her personal reaction. And I really don't even know how to define what's getting ready to happen here. It's just inserted into the Scriptures. She gives all these presents and all these gifts, and she's amazed at what's happened. And in verse 11, and the navy also of Hiram, you remember that's the guy that helped build the temple, Hiram, king of Tyre. The navy also of Hiram that brought gold from Ophir, brought in from Ophir, great plenty of almug trees and precious stones. I began to study the almug tree. Some people say it's this and some people say it's that. But nonetheless, the almug tree is one of the most precious commodities of its day. It was a very fragrant tree. When it was cut open, it had a smell to it. It was very durable. It was long-lasting. It was very valuable, obviously. The Bible says in verse 12 that the king made of the almug trees pillars for the house of the Lord. The house had already been built. He made even more pillars for that house because those trees were so valuable. And for the king's house, he made pillars for the king's house. And look what else he did. Harps also, and psalteries for the singers. Brother, instruments to sing with out of those almond trees because of their durability, their flexibility, and because of their value and because of their fragrance. He made singing instruments out of them. And the Bible says there came no such almug trees, nor were seen unto this day. Those are the trees. But I want you tonight to know that that cross is precious. It's precious to this church because Jesus Christ is where God in heaven chose to send His Son that His blood might be shed, that you and I might be saved. And He was made a curse for you and I. That's precious to me tonight. Not only is it precious, but with foolishness. But unto us that are saved, it's the power of God unto salvation. Amen. It's valuable to you and me tonight. Amen. Now that cross, I'm not going to wear it around. No, no, no. He's not there. Amen. They took him down from that cross, put him in a tomb, rolled a stone in front of it. But glory to God, on the third day, out from the dead, he arose. And tonight, I want you to know that cross is what made the difference in our lives. It's precious. It's valuable. And there's a fragrance of that cross. Oh yeah, you can smell it, amen. You and I get to worshiping Jesus for the sacrifice that He gave. The Bible begins to talk about how that it was the rose of Sharon. And when He was bruised there, they're bruised and arose. I'll never forget it when we was in the old building here. I was preaching on the rose of Sharon. I went down there to Walmart and got me some rocking into the church. I'm going to preach on them. I'm going to grind them up. I'm going to crush them. Seems like a waste to me. Oh no. I said, those roses represent the Lord Jesus Christ, how they broke Him in two. But Gordon, on up, hallelujah. I got to telling her that in the Walmart. Big old tears started running down her eyes, amen. Come back here to church and something unexpected happened. Oh man, I was up preaching. We took that rose and broke it and beat it and battered it and slammed it. And it laid here on the ground and trampled it under our feet. We began to preach and talk about it. And what a lot of people didn't realize where I was standing, there come a smell. from that rose off of the ground. And the aroma came up, and somehow it got my nose, and I got the victory. I want to say amen. Somehow when Jesus was ground down and battered and beaten, and it pleased the Father to bruise Him, don't you know that that smell of that rose went up to heaven? And God said, that's my Son, my beloved Son, Lord our God. It's a fragrant cross, amen. A fragrant tree that our Savior died on because He knew on the third day, amen, that heaven's sweet rose was going to bloom again. Undying message. And I thanks be unto God, it's still the power of God unto salvation, amen. Well, let's go back here to verse 13, back to the story of the Queen of Sheba. We see a privileged response. Verse 13. And King Solomon gave unto the Queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. What? That means, I looked it up, it's the Hebrew word for hand. Solomon at his hand, just if she had any needs or any wants, he gave her. He gave her. I might say this. She gave gold, and she gave all kinds of frankincense and spices and myrrh and whatever that was. Also precious stones, which might represent the breastplate of righteousness of the high priest. But she gave all these things. But you know what I don't believe? Solomon let her outgive him. He was a whole lot richer than she was to start with. And when she gave these gifts, when she came and asked him anything, glory to God, for the sinner that's saved, when we come to our Savior and we ask Him, we pray and seek His face, He'll give us of our desires. Amen. Not according to His will. That's what the Scripture says, amen. And He gave, and I believe with all my heart, He outgave what she had already given Him. And ain't that just like God the Father? When you want to come and you want to lay down a $20 bill somehow, in the next month somehow, comes back 40 to you. It's just amazing how that happens and how God always outgives what you and I could ever do for Him. In fact, that's what started this thing. When Solomon went up there on top of Gibeon and offered those 1,000 sacrifices and he laid down because he was tired, God appeared to him and said, ask what you will and I'll give it to you. Solomon wasn't after all these riches of gold and these $104 million there. That's not what he was after. He said, I just want wisdom. God said, because you asked for wisdom, I'm going to give you riches and fame. I'm going to give you all this stuff, glory to God. Amen. Ain't God good? And look, Solomon said, I'll give you whatever. And he gave out of his royal bounty. Well, these folks, I don't know who they were, out of Florida, wrote me a letter. And in that letter, there was some scripture that God been dealing with me about. They didn't know it, unbeknownst to them. But they quoted those exact verses in their letter. And it put me on shouting ground because A, I didn't know them, and B, they didn't know what God was dealing with me about. Now, I know it don't help you a bit because you don't understand, but I'm telling you what, I was ready to shout. One more time, there was a check for $25 that these people wrote me. And I don't think they even know who I am. But they said the Lord told them to send me $25. Now, it may not be a huge amount, but I got the check. It's still on my computer, slammed right there on the keyboard. I keep looking at it, staring at it, and I looked at it and I thought, these people took the time to write me, little old me, out of their busy day to write me a letter. And then out of their own personal account, they wrote me a check for $25. That's as big as a gold brick, amen, that I've ever had in my life, amen. I was on shouting ground. And every time I look at that check, God said to me, those folks gave that to you out of their account. That's what they were told and what they could afford to give you. But how much greater is my account? Says the Lord. And I give to you every day out of my royal bounty. I give it to you by my own personal hand. Handfuls of purpose. Handfuls of plenty. I give to you every day. Whoop! Glory to God for that. And every time I look at that check, I thought, just how good God's been to me and what He's given me. Well, I tell you what, out of that excites somebody, amen, how good God's been to us. Amen. Good place to be born. But our Savior Jesus is greater because He was born of a virgin. laid in a manger. I got to think about the riches that Solomon had. He was the richest of all kings. He had billions upon top of billions in assets. But Jesus is greater. He is the very treasure of God Himself. He owns it all, and He is all. When God gave His Son to die for you and I, He gave everything He had. They talked about AIG getting ready to go bankrupt and the Lehman Brothers and what it was going to do to Wall Street and the stock market and everything's upside down. But let me tell you something. God's not scared. He said, I know what you go through when you face these things because I bankrupt heaven itself. Gave my Son because I loved y'all. But I knew I had a plan on the third day I'd raise my boy back up again. Jesus is greater than Solomon, amen, because He is the treasure of God Himself. Now think about His wisdom, Solomon's wisdom. He was the wisest of all earthly kings. God had really given him, but Jesus is greater because He's God. He's omniscient. That means He's all-knowing. He is the all-wise God. And in fact, when Solomon got his wisdom, it was God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus that gave it to him. Jesus is greater. Why? What about the kingdom? Solomon led Israel to the zenith of the kingdom. But our Savior Jesus, He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Solomon's kingdom had a beginning, and it's going to have an ending. But Jesus' kingdom will be forever and ever and ever. What about the buildings that Solomon built? You know, he built the house of the Lord, and he built the palace of the king, and he built all the forests of the Lebanon house. But you know what? Jesus is greater because all you see, the mountains and the rivers, He framed it all. He is Creator God. And in fact, you know, He's still building tonight. He is still building His church with every soul that gets saved and born again. Hallelujah. I think about Solomon. He's known for his prayer. How many of you prayed? The Lord showed up. When he prayed, fire fell down. But you know what? Jesus is greater because He taught us all how to pray. And in John chapter 17, He's prayed for each and every one of us. I cannot see where Solomon in his foreknowledge looked out and prayed for Darren Waldrop. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, Brother Will, in the Garden of Gethsemane, under such a load of guilt in my sin, my Savior was praying for you and me that one of these days we'd be saved. What about that? Oh, Solomon, we're going to read in a few minutes about his fancy throne. Yeah. It's made out of ivory and overlaid with gold, and he's got armrests on his throne, kind of like these, but a whole lot bigger, and lions set in the front of each one, and it's six steps down, and lions go all the way around that big old throne. But you know what? Jesus the Father, glory to God, He, my friends, is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and one day He's going to sit at the great white throne and judge the world. Well, what about in food? We read about Solomon's daily provisions, you know, all the oxen and all the sheep daily, but you know what? Our Savior's greater. He took just a few loaves and a few fishes. He didn't need all them oxen and all them sheep. He just looked towards heaven and said, Father, thank you. Blessed it, and He broke it, and it fell to multitudes. Then at the same time, when you and I get at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we sit down at that table, it's a table that'll never run out. What a provision. I got to think about His home. Solomon took 13 years to build his home. What a palace. In fact, it was called Solomon's Palace. But you know what? Jesus lives in the Father's house. And He said, in my Father's house, there's many mansions. And He's been over 2,000 years building on that. And we're all going, Solomon never built me no palace. Solomon never built me no mansion. Solomon didn't even build me a shack. Didn't even throw me into before. But Jesus, amen, has outshined Him in His glory because He's done something for all of us. Waiting us we get to heaven. What about gifts? Oh, Solomon, that billions of dollars was given to him, but what about Jesus? He received glory and honor from His Father each and every day. He said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. He said, I've both glorified thy name and I'll glorify it again. Amen. He gets His glory and His honor from God the Father. Certainly you and I ought to give Him glory. What about His giving? I saw Solomon giving, making sacrifices of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. And man, how much blood it must have been. But you know what? There'll never be anybody outgive Jesus. because he laid down his own life, shed his own innocent blood for a bunch of sinners like you and me to be saved. I thought about it under inspiration. Solomon wrote thousands and thousands of Proverbs and the book of Ecclesiastes and the Song of Solomon as he was led by the Holy Spirit. But Jesus outshines him because Jesus is the Word. He's the living, walking addition and breathing addition, amen, each and every day. I thought about Solomon's sin. Solomon's sin. The Bible says he loved many strange women. But our Savior outshines him because our Savior is sinless and perfect. What about in death? Solomon one day died. Jesus died. But on the third day, he rose again. He outshines old Solomon. What about a successor? Solomon's son, Rehoboam, reigned in his stead. But Jesus has no successor. He's alive and he's going to reign forevermore. Thought about his miracles. According to everything I read, Solomon never performed a miracle in his lifetime. I can't find where he touched a leper. I can't find where he ever saved one soul. But Jesus healed the lame, the blind, the deaf, the lepers. He laid his hands on them and healed them. Why, he's still saving souls tonight, amen. Jesus certainly outshines Solomon. Again, Matthew 12:42 says the Queen of the South. He's speaking to the Pharisees. Shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth. 75 days journey, traveling 20 miles a day. She came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. He said she's come 1,500 miles to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And you bunch of Pharisees and scribes and hypocrites won't walk across the street. And a greater than Solomon's here. You know tonight, y'all? The Bible speaks about Solomon being arrayed in all this glory. But he said that the very grass itself is arrayed greater than Solomon in all his glory. How much greater? How much greater does God the Father care for you and me tonight? You may think, well, glory, I'll never... Listen, you and I going to a place called heaven, boy, and a half has never yet been told us. Amen? Let me try to finish up real quick in 1 Kings. Preacher, you ain't got time. I believe I do. 1 Kings chapter number 10. We're going to finish up. Verse number 14. This will be our last point tonight. The prosperity regally. Verse 14. Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 666 pounds of gold. Every year he got $577 million worth of gold. But that's an interesting number that they just quoted there. 666. Has anybody ever heard that number before? That's the number of the Antichrist. That's the number of the beast. Preacher, is it? That means Solomon? Oh, Lord, Solomon? Solomon is the Antichrist? No. But it said it. That's the number of man, and probably outside of Jesus, the most glorious man in all his splendor and wisdom that ever lived was Solomon. And he got 666 talents of gold every year. And the Lord has told us there in Revelation chapter 13, about verse number 18, do not take that mark. I'm glad I won't be here. Amen. No raptures took place. I'm going to be raptured home. Glory to God for that. Bible says, beside that, he had of the merchant men and of the traffic of the spice merchants and of all the kings of Arabia and of all of the governors of the country. So he has a great income. King Solomon made 200 targets of beaten gold. Targets, that means these huge shields. 200 of them of beaten gold. 600 shekels of gold went to one target. And he made 300 shields of beaten gold. 3 pounds of gold went to one shield. And the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. They were just a display. Man, how extravagant. Verse 18, moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory. I told you about it. And overlaid it with the best gold. The throne had 6 steps, and the top of the throne was round behind. And there were stays, that's armrests, on either side of the place of the seat. And 2 lines stood beside the stays. And 12 lines stood there on the one side, and on the other upon the 6 steps. There was not the like made in any kingdom. Man, what a throne. And all King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold. And all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. None were of silver. Someone would have brought him something silver to drink out of. He said, throw it away, that's trash. I drink out of pure gold. Nothing less than pure gold is going to do. Watch here. It was nothing accounted of in the days of Solomon. For the king had at sea a navy of Tarshish with the navy of Hiram. Once in 3 years came the navy of Tarshish bringing gold and silver, ivory, and apes and peacocks. It didn't say anything about Baptists. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. And they brought every man his present, vessels of silver and vessels of gold and garments and armor and spices, horses and mules, array year by year. Kings of the earth heard of Solomon, and there was such peace with him that all the kings of the earth brought him gifts. He had it all, but they kept bringing him gifts. He's the top of Christ. The Bible says that he's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And every king, everyone is going to bow their knee and confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is truly Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Quickly, Solomon gathered together chariots and horsemen. He had 1,400 chariots, 12,000 horsemen, whom he bestowed in the cities for chariots, and with the king at Jerusalem. That was his defense, although he didn't need it. And the king made silver to be in Jerusalem as stones. Did you hear that? He made silver to be in Jerusalem as stones. In other words, we don't need that. That cup ain't pure gold. He threw it out there in the street. I mean, silver to him was just like stones. Have you ever seen pictures of Israel and all the rocks and the stones that's over there? I got to think about that today, all the rocks and stones that's all over them streets and on them mountainsides. Silver. Silver was just like stones in them days. Man, it was that abundant. Why? The king made silver to be in Jerusalem as stones and cedars, made he to be as sycamore trees that are in the veil for abundance. And Solomon had horses brought out of Egypt and linen yarn. The king's merchants received the linen yarn at a price. And a chariot came up and went out of Egypt for 600 shekels of silver and a horse for 150. In other words, he's trading commerce back and forth with all the kings of the earth. He's trading linen and horses. He's doing all this trading. I'm telling you what, y'all, he's one of the biggest commodity traders there's ever been. And so for all the kings of the Hittites and for the kings of Syria, did they bring them out by their means? What a great king he was, but remember something. He didn't ask for any of it. He just asked for wisdom. And God blessed him with all this other stuff. You know what? Solomon would have been a good fellow to have in any congregation. I guarantee you, most Baptist churches, if a man like Solomon walked in, they'd cater to him. That's wrong, by the way. You ought to go out into the streets and compel them and the highways and the hedges to come in. The poor and the lame, who he told us to go out and get. But a man like Solomon come in and said, "Whoop, good to have you today, Mr. Solomon, but you know what? There's a greater than Solomon here." Bible said, happy were all of Solomon's servants. Queen of Sheba challenged them, came to test them and prove them, and none of them were complaining about their life because Solomon was so good to them. What's our problem? Why is it we got the pooch lip and we're all been out of shape and bothered and upset? Ain't you saved? Aren't you serving Jesus? Greater than Solomon's here. And if they were happy to serve Solomon, how much happier should you and I be to have such a glorious king named Jesus? Whew. Solomon could not give his people any other hope than past the point that he died. But our Savior will never die. Our hope's forevermore. It's anchored, it's sure and steadfast. It's in the blood of our Savior. You stand with me tonight? That's a message the Lord laid on my heart this week. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity you've given us tonight to read a portion of your word. Pray tonight, God, you'd use it as a blessing, Father, for your people. Pray, God, you'd encourage them. Let them know, Father, that in every aspect of their life, greater than Solomon is with them at all times. I pray, God, you'd help us now to live our life happily, joyfully before the Lord. And God, we thank you for being the king that you are, having love for us that you do, and the wisdom and the foreknowledge, Father, to look out for us and protect us and lead, God, and keep us safe in all situations. Lord, we love you. And I pray, God, you'd help us to trust you. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Appreciate you coming tonight.
Liberty to go. God bless you.